Hey, good morning. Good to see you. Good to be with you this morning. You can have a seat. If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Romans chapter 12, and then just be patient. We'll get there here in a few moments. And come on, who's ready for some spring weather besides me? Anyone in here? What's that groundhog's name? That evil, demented groundhog? What is his name? Punxsutawney Phil?
Phil.
That sucker is a liar, man. He said spring was coming. And he was off, man. So good to be with you this morning. Glad that you're here at Rev City Church. And we're going to continue this morning in our series, 10-Year Challenge. Before we do, how many were blessed by the Activate sessions last week? We were able to be here. How many were blessed by Pastor Richard and Fernando? And yeah, it was a really, really special weekend. If you weren't able to join us, those messages are available on our website, on social media platforms, and just encourage you to go and just stay. The Lord spoke a lot of powerful things into the life of our church family, and it would be well worth your time to go and to hear what God was speaking, and I just trust that He would speak directly to you, even though you weren't here, that there would be something that God would impart to your spirit, to your heart. But this morning, we're going to continue in our series, 10-Year Challenge, and the inspiration for the series was that social media trend that kind of went viral around the first of the year, where people were posting images, video, or pictures of themselves from today and then from 10 years ago. And I was watching my friends and celebrities and people all across the social media world posting those images. The Holy Spirit just began to speak to me that it really is true that 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now, you will be different. Your life will look different. Your world will look different. Your marriage will look different. Your heart will be in a different place. And that the reality is that there's only three real true outcomes. There's a lot of variance in between. But in every area of our life, in every area, there's really only three true outcomes. You'll be closer to God, further from God, or you'll be stuck where you are today. And so I'm challenging you as a church family that there's only one acceptable outcome. There's only one acceptable outcome, and that's to be closer to God, more aware, more connected, living out His purposes, His ways, His heart for our lives. So as we've entered into these messages, I've been showing some pictures from some church leaders and just appreciating what God's done in our lives, and we have some of those this morning for you. I think the first one that we have is Gary and Julie Hammer. There's Julie right there. Gary's probably serving, if I know him. There he is back there. See Gary back there serving. Everyone say, hey, Gary. Hey, Julie. And there's a picture of them from recently. And aren't they a handsome couple?
Yeah.
And then I think we have a picture of their wedding. Look at that. Gary, you are a tower of white, buddy. I hope they're in Mexico. Either that or they're at a Mexican food restaurant. That's their 10-year anniversary, I was told. Is that right, Gary? 10-year anniversary? So. Then here we have Peter and Alice Willems. And come on, give them a hand. So Pastor Peter was the one that stood this morning and led us in receiving communion. And there's Peter and Alice on their wedding day. Man, you guys are good looking. So Peter and Alice are on the far top right corner. You see up there? Peter's got the awesome pants going on right there. See those plaid pants? The pants. Those are the... If I had those pants, I could rule the world, right? I'm just telling you. There's Alice early on in the life of this church. She's such a worshiper. Listen, I don't know. There's probably not a single person in our congregation who has offered up more prayers on behalf of this church family, on behalf of you and your family, than Alice Willems. And she's such a faithful woman of God. And there's back to that picture. And I asked them to just go back to that picture and just pause there for a moment. Because I just wanted to take a moment and just honor and appreciate Peter and Alice. Many of you maybe that have entered into the church recently might not even be aware that Peter Willems pastored this church for almost 19 years. And he and Alice, yeah, come on. Come on, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. And I just, I thought it was a beautiful opportunity as Peter stood and led us in communion this morning to just take a moment and just honor him and honor Alice for the faithful investment that they made into the life of this church family. And I'm just telling you, I believe with all my heart that God's got some great things in store for Rev City Church. But I'm telling you that it's only possible because of the faithfulness of a previous generation. And everything that we do, everything that God does through us and in us, is all because of the platform of faithfulness that's been laid, the foundations that have been of faith that have been laid in this church family. And Peter and Alice Williams had a big part and a lot to say about that. And so we honor you, Pastor Peter, and we're grateful for the faithfulness and for the investment that you made in the life of this church family. Come on, one more time. Can we just give Pastor Peter a hand and give him thanks? Come on, as long as I have anything to say about it, we're going to honor the past. We're going to honor our roots. We're going to honor our elders. And it's missing in our culture today. And it's something, how many know it's something that desperately needs to be restored? Young people, honor your elders. Honor your father. Honor your mother. The Bible says it's the first commandment with a promise that if you do that, your life will go well. You will be blessed. And so we honor those that have gone before us. We honor those that have served before us. Even as we look to the future with what God's going to do. And I have the excitement of announcing to you that our renovation is beginning this week. The legacy renovation is beginning this week. For about 2 months, it's been tied up in the permitting process as we've just been walking through some things with the city and ironing out some of the details that were necessary to get the permit in place. And we picked up the permit on Thursday of this last week. Amen? And so, listen, the only reason that we have a building to renovate is because of the faithfulness of a previous generation to hear God and be obedient to build this place. And so I'm just so grateful, so thankful for what God's done and what he's going to do. And can I just tell you, I'm inviting you to come and be a part of it. And it's not just me. God, the Holy Spirit is inviting you to come and be a part of something. The Holy Spirit is inviting us to partner with, to build, that the foundations that have been laid, that what's already been accomplished in our church in previous seasons would now be the floor for God's more. That we would be faithful with what God's given us and with what God's entrusted to us. That's the heart behind the Legacy Renovation Campaign. It's just to take this building, this amazing building that previous generations gave towards and sacrificed for and built, and that now we would steward it well, that we would bring renewed excellence to it, that for another season it would serve well the purposes of God, for another season that it would serve well as a gathering place for the people of God to come and worship the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Amen? So I'm excited to announce it to you, and then I just want to thank you for just your patience over the next couple months. How many know when there's progress and when there's activity, sometimes it requires us, there's inconveniences. And sometimes it requires us to sacrifice, and it requires us to lay down our own preferences. And there'll be a lot of times where there'll be some places where that affects us. You might have to go to a different room than you're used to, or you might have to navigate some inconveniences throughout our foyer and our hallways. And I just want to thank you in advance for your patience. And I want to invite you to just see beyond the short-term inconvenience to see what God's doing to prepare this place to serve our city and to proclaim the name of Jesus for another season for a future generation. Amen? Amen. You know what's interesting? I was thinking about this. The word constriction and the word construction couldn't have much different meanings. But you know, the only difference is constriction has the letter I, and construction has the letter U. And it really is significant when you flip the script and you begin to say, this is not about me, this is not about us, this is about what God's doing. This is about the people that God's called us to reach. We can take something that could feel constrictive, and it can be, and we can view it in a different perspective. We can see it that God's up to something. God's building something. God's constructing something. And it's bigger. It's about more than what we can see in the short term. It's about more than what we are having to walk through right now. That God's up to something in our midst. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful and honored and blessed and humbled to be a part of it. And would you come and would you be a part of it with us? Come on, if you're grateful for what the Lord's doing in your life and in our church, give the Lord a hand this morning. So 10-year challenge. The reality is, in every area of your life, 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months from now, you will be different. And I watch these pictures. I watch people sharing these 10-year challenge pictures, and some were inspirational, some were encouraging, some were heartwarming, some were unfortunate. So, you know, some people had suffered loss. Some people, there were some things that they had hoped would go a certain way, and it hadn't gone their way. But the Lord really began to speak to me about his faithfulness and about how our part is to respond to him. Listen, every area of your life will be closer, will be further, or will be stuck the same. And listen, I'll tell you, the greatest risk for us that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that we become stuck the same. Is that we get to a place where we're comfortable with our faith. We're satisfied that our sins have been forgiven. We're comfortable with the level of engagement that we have with our local church and with the Lord, and we become stuck where we're at. And I'm telling you, church, as your pastor, you're going to consistently hear me breathing upon and speaking into your life to say, don't get stuck. Keep moving forward with God. There's more that he's inviting you to. There's a new place. There's a fresh place of devotion and intimacy with the Lord. There's a fresh place. There's a new place of knowledge of God's word. There's a fresh place. There's a new place of understanding the significance of your purpose and your role in this church and in the kingdom. Come on, don't get stuck. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. The greatest risk is that we become stuck. Listen, I'm telling you, it's unacceptable for me. It's unacceptable for me. It's unacceptable for me for our church to get stuck. God's inviting us to make a difference. God's inviting us to be a part, to play a part in seeing a city transformed and seeing a region transformed and seeing a nation revived to life in Jesus Christ. Let's not get stuck. Let's move forward. Let's draw nearer. Let's grow closer. Let's go deeper in the things of God. Listen, oh, that's the only acceptable option as for me and as for my house and as for this church is that we would press in and discover more in this season, that we would press in and experience more, that we would press in and encounter more, that we really would draw nearer, grow closer, and go deeper in the things of God. But listen, can I encourage you with something this morning and challenge you with something? How it goes for you is often up to you. God's done his part. God did send his son to die, to give his life, because he loved you so much that he sent his son that all who believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. But our part is to respond to the invitation of a good heavenly Father who is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it this way to Peter in a couple places in the gospel. He said, who do people say that I am? And you remember what they responded. They said, well, some say John the Baptist and some say Elijah. And they say, he said, well, who do you say that I am? And can I tell you this morning, it still is resonating, reverberating all throughout history is the most important question that any of us will ever answer. But who do you say that I am? To you, am I just a religious figure? To you, am I a good man, a good person? And Peter answered rightly when he said, no, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded and said, blessed are you, Simon. You're now Peter. I'm changing your name. You're now Peter. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who do you say Jesus is? Young people, who is Jesus to you? Is he a religious figure? Is he a good man? Or is he your Lord and your Savior, your Father, your friend, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords in your life? How we answer this question determines the trajectory of our life. Amen. 10 weeks, 10 days, 10 minutes from now, you'll be different based on some things that the Lord does in your life today in this service, if you'll respond. 10 days, 10 months, 10 years from now, you will look different. A lot of it is determined upon the decisions that we make. I've said it this way throughout the series. The pathway to your life vision is paved with daily decision. And in a season where a lot of times we're looking into a new season, a new year, we're making do goals, I've challenged us that we might be better served to make who goals. Does that make sense? Not what I'm going to do, but who I'm going to become. And as we go into a new year, oftentimes we make resolutions, and I've challenged us with the reality that by the end of January, 80% of resolutions fail. And I was studying it, you know, how does that increase as you go through the year? And by the start of March, most studies indicate that 90% of resolutions, do goals, things I'll do, have dropped by the wayside in people's lives. And can I just submit to you, I think it's because we're focusing on the wrong things. We're focusing on the things that the world says that we need to have, the world says we need to be. We're focusing on arbitrary things, make this much more money, lose this many pounds, when really what we would be better served to do is say, God, I'm going to focus on who you're making me as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a husband and a father, as a wife and a mother, as a servant, as a son, as a daughter. I'm focusing more on who you're calling me to be. Listen, if you'll focus on who God's making you, a lot of the things that he's calling you to do will follow suit. And a lot of the things that you're frustrated with right now will begin to happen as you begin to seek the Lord for revelation instead of resolution. God, show me the heart behind why I need to change. Show me the heart behind why you're doing this thing in my life. It's not just an arbitrary goal. There's something you're leading me to. There's something you're challenging me to. There's something you're inviting me to. There's something you're convicting me of. There's something you're calling me out of, an old season into a new season. Let me get a revelation deep in my heart that allows me to begin to live differently and get the results that God wants for me. Is it possible? Come on, is it possible that we'd be less frustrated if we began to just focus and say, God created me a clean heart. God search me and know me. God make me into the person that you want me to be. Pastor Richard mentioned it last week. He was talking about the prodigal son who came to his father and said, give me my inheritance. And oftentimes it's the posture from which we approach God. But Jesus came and he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. What happens when we begin to shift from God, give me this, all these things that the world says I have to have to be deemed successful, and we begin to shift from give me to make me? Come on, what begins to happen when we begin to shift from give me to make me? God, make me into the man that you've called me to be. Make me, come on, women of God, sisters, make me into the woman that you've called me to be. What happens when we begin to shift that? I believe that God will do his part to answer our request, and as we respond to him, he'll begin to come and he'll begin to move in our life. Listen, I've talked to you early on in the series about the importance of having vision. That whether we're talking about 10 years, come on, 10-year challenge, that's just for the sake of the title of the series. The reality is, whatever length of time you want to subscribe to it, there's a place that you're going to be that's different than where you stand today. And Proverbs 20:18-9 says, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. Another translation says they cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the word, who keeps the law. The New Living Translation says it this way, the same scripture. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Listen, God calls us to have a vision, something that we're believing for, something that we're reaching for. We should have a vision. Every area of your life, come on, it would be good for you to have a vision. How do we want to parent our kids? How do we want to handle our finances? What do we want our marriage to look like? What do we want our church to look like? We should have a vision in every area. It's something that causes us. Again, it says if you don't have vision, if you don't have revelation, if you don't have prophetic insight, it says the people cast off restraint. It means they live casually. It means that they're not making intentional decisions towards an end goal that God has presented to them. And I'm challenging you, people of God, that God desires for you. If you'll get in his presence and you'll spend time with him and you'll get in his word, God desires to begin to show you what he sees that you can become, what he sees that you can do. Come on, some of us ought to begin to ask the question, what can God do through you? Who can God be through me? Begin to ask, begin to think, begin to imagine. Come on, that's our part, that scripture. We are familiar with that scripture that God can do more than we ask, think, or imagine. And you know, God's part is to do the more, but we have a part to play in that scripture. Our part is to ask and think and imagine, to get in the presence of God and begin to dream with him about what's possible and begin to write it on our hearts. And Habakkuk even says to write it down on paper and make it plain so that the reader can begin to read it and begin to run with it. Come on, we do it for things that are temporal and passing away. We write down business plans and financial goals, and those are good things. Hear me, those are good things to do. But what about for our spiritual life and for our marriage and for our family, if we would sit in the presence of God and we begin to say, God, would you show me the picture that you see 10 months, 10 years from now? And would you allow me to begin to partner with you? Would you give me the courage to write it down and begin to live accordingly towards that end where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. But where God comes and where God speaks a vision, where God gives a revelation, people begin to live accordingly. People begin to make decisions. We begin to make decisions saying, God, this is a good plan that God has for me. And I'm going to begin to live in such a way that causes me to begin to move forward towards it. It's important to have a vision. But the same God who calls us to have a vision in Matthew chapter 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. And then moving on, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. It seems like a paradox. So which is it? And I've encouraged you, both are true. Both are true. God desires for you to have a vision, a goal, a plan, something that you're living for and living towards. But here's the reality of it is that the only way you'll ever get to the big picture that God has for you is with daily decisions. Is by saying, God, today, what step can I take today? What thing would you have me to do today? What phone call can I make today? What forgiveness do I need to extend today? What step do I need to extend today? Both are true. Have a big vision for your future. And listen, if you're gonna have a vision for your future, have a big one, have a good one. It's the kind that God has for you, according to Jeremiah chapter 29. And it's the reason that it's a value, it's a document, and it's a stated value in our Rev City Vision book. That as a church, we're gonna dream big and we're gonna start small. We're going to dream big about what's possible when the people of God come together and rally together and begin to link arms with Him. We're going to dream big about what's possible for Lawrence, Kansas. That it really is true that what the things that Lawrence is known for today can begin to shift, and Lawrence can begin to be known for a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit. That Lawrence can begin to be known for a revival. Come on, some of you weren't clapping like you really believe it. Lawrence isn't too far from God that it cannot be saved. The United States of America is not too far from God that it cannot be saved. God's just looking for a people who will begin to believe that He is who He says He is, and He will do what He says He will do in a way that causes us to begin to live differently. What is Lawrence going to look like 10 years from now? Can I tell you a big picture, a big part of the answer to that question is, how is the church going to act for the next 10 years? Are we going to be moved with compassion that causes us to have the courage to speak up and to say something and to stand up and to do something? And when we do that, are we going to have the conviction that it's Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life? Or are we going to be conformed to the pattern of this world? Are we going to allow our city and our nation to continue to go down the tubes? Come on, I'm telling you, I believe it wholeheartedly. It's not just preacher talk. I believe it wholeheartedly. We stand at a very important moment in time. There's a culture war going on. There's an antichrist spirit that's trying to push faith out of our culture. And listen, we need to be moved with compassion. But we don't need to expect lost people to do anything but just act like lost people. They're just lost people. I was the same way before I encountered Jesus. I was living the same way. And I shouldn't have expectations for them to live any differently until they encounter Jesus through my life. Until they encounter Jesus through this church, until they encounter Jesus through our voice and the way that we live. Amen? Yeah. How are you going to look in 10 months? Where are you going to be in 10 years? How's our church going to look in 10 months and 10 years? How's our church going to look 10 years from now? Listen, I'm telling you, a lot of it is determined by the decisions we begin to make today. I'm going to talk to you today. I'm recapping and kind of catching you up since we had a break last week from the series, but I want to talk to you this morning about the power of decision. The power of decision. That there's something about making a determination about who you're going to be and how you're going to live. There's something about making a decision that helps you to begin to live differently. There's something about making a decision that allows you to begin to have clarity. Come on. Life is a series of decisions every moment. You made a decision this morning about, you looked outside and you saw that it had snowed 2 or 3 inches and it was 10 degrees, and you made a decision about, am I going to church or am I going back to bed?
Going to church.
There's about 200 people that made the other decision, by the way. Don't tell them I said that. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. And I think that you guys are the ones today that are hungering and thirsting. Amen? Come on. Come on, clap like you mean it if we're going to clap. Listen, I've also encouraged us, if the place that you stand today, as we've looked at these images, if the snapshot of your today would capture a difficult, a painful moment, a trial, a season of tribulation, I've encouraged you today, be encouraged, you're in good company. You're in good company. If you're hearing this morning, you're saying, Pastor T, but you don't know where I'm at. You don't know what I'm going through. I'm telling you this morning, you're in good company. Amen. This book is filled with people who, if you turn to one chapter or one page, and you read their story, you would come away from their story with a whole different understanding than what the end of the book looks like. Amen. It's true. Yep. It's true. You look at Abraham, and you turn to one page, and you'd say Abraham was a liar. You'd turn to another page, and you would see Jacob was a deceiver. You'd turn to another page, and if you just read one page, if you just allowed one snapshot to define who they were, you would see that David was an adulterer. You would see that Mary Magdalene was a sinful woman. You would see that Paul was arrogant, and he was an accessory to murder, even murdering the people of God. If you turned to just one page and you just read one chapter of the people of God's stories, you would see that Peter was a foul-mouthed coward. But aren't you glad that God keeps writing our stories? Aren't you glad? Listen, I'm encouraging you today. I'm encouraging you today. If the picture of your life today is painful or difficult, God sees. God has something out here. Jeremiah 29:11 says that a good plan, hope of a future for you. It's good. He's got it out here, and it doesn't matter what you look like today. I'm telling you, it's the truth about God's word. And it's the reality that all throughout the word of God, God used real people with real problems and real challenges and real adversity and real sin and real shortcoming, if they were only willing to take those real things and present them in the presence of a real God who offers real forgiveness and real hope and real life change, who has real love and real concern for us as his people. Come on, you need to understand. God's not intimidated by your sin, your fears, your failures. But our responsibility is to take where we stand presently, what we're going through, what that picture would look like today, and present it in the presence of God. And say, God, I can't do anything about where I'm at today except just come to you and begin to look to you and begin to turn to you and begin to forsake some of the things maybe that got me into this predicament and begin to live for you in a new way, in a fresh way. Come on, if you'll do that, I promise you, God's got to begin to lead you. God loves coming into the lives of his people and helping us out of situations, some of which we even created for ourselves. You need to hear that this morning. Some of you need to hear that this morning. You're not disqualified. You're not disqualified. Where you're at is not outside the reach of God's ability to save. Listen, some of you need to really hear that this morning. You're not disqualified. Where you are today is not outside the reach of God's ability to save, to restore, to redeem, to make whole, to make new, to get you going towards the thing that he has for you, the good plan, the hope, and the future. God has a way, taking your test and turning it into a testimony, your trial and turning it into a triumph. He takes your mess and he turns it into your message. Come on, what if the people of God took some of the painful, difficult things that we went through, some of which maybe were undeserved and unexpected, some of which we created for ourselves, and we took those very things and we presented them before God and we allowed God to begin to write a testimony of his faithfulness, a testimony of his forgiveness, that began to turn a painful problem into a platform for us to begin to declare and speak about the promises of a faithful God to a generation that's coming up under us who desperately needs to hear the reality of what God did in our lives, not just the form of religiosity. The reality that we once were lost, we once were hopeless, and God came. We took our situation and we presented it to God. And he came and he began to move in our lives. He came and he healed and he restored. It wasn't easy, but we were able to forgive and move on. Come on, let God keep writing your story. Let God keep leading you onwards towards those pictures that he has stored up in heaven that only he knows. Begin to present it before God. He'll lead you out of where you're at. And he'll lead you forward to where you're going. Come on, your setback is a setup. your setback, oftentimes, what you see as a setback is really a setup. That's what I was just saying. All those situations seem like a huge setback, but it was really just a setup for God to magnify His grace and His mercy and His power, His ability to do things with weak people and imperfect people. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody ought to just say that this morning. Your setback, come on, say it. Your set, look at your neighbor, say, your setback, is a setup for a comeback. God's not scared of the reality of your situation. Quit hiding it from Him. As long as you put on your religious mask and come to church on Sunday mornings or go to life group or go about your day or even before the presence of God, you aren't real. Just to get with Him and just say, Lord, this is the reality. This is the reality of where I am. Remember what we talked about. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, right? Yes, I saw that all along as one concept, but the Lord began to just show me there's really two concepts revealed there. God's word comes and He shows you the reality of where you are. He's a lamp unto your feet, right where you stand. He's showing you where you stand today, the reality of where you stand. And can I just tell you something? When you get real with God and when you begin to confess the reality of where your heart is and the reality of what you're going through, can I let you in on a little secret? That's not when God finds out about it. That's not when God finds out about it. That's the moment that you began to be qualified to be set free from it. Amen. We're not fooling anyone, and we're not helping ourselves when we hide those things in our heart before God. That's not the moment that God finds out about it. It's the moment that we begin to become empowered to get set free from it, to get healed from it, to get empowered to begin to live differently than what we were living that created the situation in the first place. We got to get real with God. We got to get real. His word, His presence, His word. Jesus is the word. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He wants to show you some things that He has for you. But then He doesn't just want to show you and leave you without the answers, without the solutions, without the steps to take to begin to move forward towards it. It's a light unto your path, where you're going, where He's taking you, what He has for you, your marriage, your family, your finances, your work, all those things. It's a light unto your path, but it's a lamp unto your feet. God will show you right where you're standing, and God will light the way for you to just begin to take the next step. And I tell us all the time, the most important step is always, it's always, never fails, it's always the next step. It's always the first step or the next step. Listen, if we're not willing, God can show us something that's way out there, something good that He has in His heart, but if we're not willing to just do this, we can never get to where God has for us. In your life, in your home, in your heart, in your marriage, in your family, in your finances, what does God see? What does God have out before you? But then perhaps more importantly, today, this moment, right now, what's the next step? What's the first step? What's your response? What's God's word lighting up before you right here, right now? Who do you need to forgive? What do you need to begin to once again begin to be faithful with? Something that God's put in your hand, a relationship, a person, an opportunity, a job, a workplace. What's your next step? Come on, really, right there where you are, people of God, ask Him. Ask Him, Lord, what are You calling me to do? What are You speaking to me to do? And then just be faithful with what He begins to tell you. Can I tell you, I think a lot of the reasons that we don't grow in God and go in God, it's not because God's not willing, it's not because God's not speaking. A lot of times it's just because we aren't faithful. We get busy, we get distracted, we're concerned more about what the world thinks or what the world says than responding in faithfulness to what God has presented before us. Ask Him, be real, get real with God. Say, God, what's my next step? What's my first step? What are You trying to speak to me today? What are You trying to begin to shift and turn in my heart today? Romans chapter 12, are you there? And starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform. Come on, say, do not conform. Be transformed. Say, be transformed. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. Come on, how many of you, I run into a lot of people who, they're frustrated because they are just saying, what, especially when I talk to young people, it's like, I don't know what God's will is for my life. And can I tell you, there's something that's here. It's just like, you'll find God's will when you begin to pursue God's ways. He says, don't conform to this world. Don't conform to this world. Just give your life, your whole body, everything that you are, all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is how you worship God. This is how we please God. And when we begin to just live that way, again, I'm talking about having who goals and not do goals. We begin to focus on who we are. Just being a radical follower of Jesus Christ, faithful and obedient. And it says you'll begin to then discover the good, the pleasing, the perfect will that your Heavenly Father has for you in every area of your life. Come on, God, make me. Make me into the man that you've called me to be. Make me into the man that you see that I can become, the husband that you see that I can become. If I just focus on that, giving you my all, serving you with everything that I have, presenting my life before you, holy, completely, not holding back, not shrinking back, not keeping any part of it for myself, but giving it all to you, you'll begin to lead me towards the will, the plans, the thoughts, the dreams, the hopes that you have for me, for my marriage, for my family, for this church. It says, do not conform to the world. Conform, I looked up the word, and conform, here's the definition: to act in accordance or harmony with, to comply or act in accord with the prevailing standards, attitudes, practices of a society or a group. God says, be careful about that. He says, don't be conformed to the patterns, to the ways, to the standards, to the attitudes, to the practices of the world around you. Listen, God's called us as a people of God to stand out. God's called us to look different. God's called us to be a holy and peculiar people. God's called us to be set apart. God's called us as a people of God to be salt and light. But Jesus said if the salt loses its flavor, if the salt loses its ability to really make a difference in the seasoning, what good is it? It's thrown out and it's trampled underfoot. And I'm telling you, it's a time, it's an invitation, it's a moment where the church once again needs to present ourselves in the presence of a holy God and say, God, begin to cause me to sound differently, begin to cause me to live differently, begin to cause me to speak differently, begin to give me the courage to break away, to break free from the patterns of this world and begin to put you first in my life. I'm telling you, church, it's a pattern to living in the blessing and the fulfillment of what is possible in being a son or daughter of God. Many of us have experienced average results because we've lived lukewarm lives. And I believe that God is once again calling and inviting us as a people of God back to the place of his presence where he does what only he can do, and he sparks a fire in our heart, begins to burn brightly again, that begins to shine the light of Jesus. I'm just telling you, I believe that if we just keep doing things the way that we're doing things, we'll continue to get the results that we've been getting. And if you look across the church at large, do we really look much different? The divorce rates are similar. Many of the people of God, discouraged, depressed, isolated, disconnected. I just don't think it has to be that way. I don't think it ever had to be that way. But is it possible that we violated what that scripture says, that we've become conformed? That we've been concerned more with what was comfortable and convenient? And in many ways, because it was an easier go, we began to build our houses and our personal faith on the sandy beaches. God's calling us to build our lives and our homes and our marriages on the solid rock. Because the storms are going to come. The waves are going to crash. The rain is going to beat. I think the invitation of God in this season to each of us individually, and corporately as a church, and even beyond to the body of Christ is to come back to the place where we got off track and begin to present that moment before God and say, God, would you begin to allow me and grace me and help me to begin to build my life in a different way, in a way that doesn't look like the world. Come on, God's called us to be in the world, but not of it. God needs you. Your workplace needs you to sound differently. Your workplace needs you. Come on, college students, that campus needs you. That campus needs you to look different and sound different and shine the light of Jesus and be the salt and light. Your home and your children, come on, people of God that are blessed to be married and have kids, your home needs you. Men of God, your children need you. They need to see you burning brightly for Jesus. They need to see you willing to hit your knees. They need to see you being real and raw and transparent before God. They need to see you drawing your strength from the presence of God. They need to see us opening our Bibles and reading and seeking and searching out the heart of God about how to live and how to build the life that God's invited us to. Thank you, Lord. So I want to give us an opportunity to respond. And I don't want you to respond lightly or casually. I'm not trying to get you up and stand you up and get you out the door. I really want you to take a moment and I want you to think about, am I willing today to make a fresh, to make a new decision? The kind of decision like Joshua decreed and declared to the people in his midst in Joshua chapter 24 when he said, fear the Lord. Serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods that your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day. Come on, somebody say choose. Choose. Say it again, choose. Choose. Come on, there's a power of decision, a personal decision, a moment of decision. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I don't want you to respond lightly or casually, but if that's the decision, come on in a new way. Wherever you are today, God's got something more. If you're far from God today, the step for you is to come near to Him. If you're serving God today, but maybe you become distracted or you become lukewarm in your heart, the step for you today is to respond and say, in a new way, in a fresh way, I'm committing myself. Don't respond casually, but if that's you today, you will say, I want to make a fresh and a new decision to not conform to this world, but to serve the Lord with all my heart. I just want to give you the opportunity. Come on, people of God, just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. If that's you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Standing in church is not that significant. It's about your heart responding to God. It's an outward evidence of a heart that's responding to God. Thank you, Lord. So come on now, people of God, just put your hands out before you. Like, it's just such a great posture. The Bible talks about lifting up holy hands. And when we lift up our holy hands in this position right here, we're at the same time, we're leaving something behind. We're offering something to God. And we're preparing a position and posturing ourselves to receive something new from Him. And so, Lord, whatever it is that's held us back and hindered us, Lord, mindsets, attitudes, patterns of sin that have held us back, we hold it up before you this morning and we say, we give it to you. We cast it before you, God. And Lord, as we hold our hands out before you, we receive today a fresh and a new filling and baptism of your Spirit, Lord, a fresh and a new passion for Jesus, and a fresh and a new fire and flame that you desire to come and to light in our hearts that would cause us to begin to live differently. And now, right there where you are, whatever you need to do, right there in your own words, come on, just get real before God. Right there in your own words, commit yourself, dedicate yourself. Your Joshua moment, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, right there where you are, just thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And now before we close in worship, the most important thing we do is give people an opportunity to respond to the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you're here and maybe you once knew God and served God as you're a prodigal son and daughter, you've drifted. The things of this world have led you astray, have led you away from a good God who loves you so much that he sent Jesus to pay the price for your sin and make a way that you might have new life. If that's you, or perhaps today you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and received the forgiveness of a Savior, if that's you this morning, I just want you to lift your hand in faith. It's outward evidence of a heart that's responding and saying, that's me and that's what I need. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Come on, one more moment to just respond. Say, that's me. You're responding not to a pastor, not to a group of people. You're responding to a Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Come on, I want to lead you in a prayer. And we believe at Rev City Church that we're a family. The church is a family. We pray this together. And so come on, church, with everything that you have, would you repeat this after me and support those who raised their hand in faith this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you that life. I give you my trust, and I'll never be the same. Come on, say it again. I'll never be the same. Come on, one more time. People of God, say it. I'll never be the same. And put your hands together for those precious people. Thank you, Lord.